Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. When I think about unity, I've just, been around, seen, what it's like. It's not unity for unity's sake. It's, first of all, for the church, it's unity around Christ and his word and love for, his people and all mankind. And with America, it's unity around the idea of America, an allegiance to the Constitution of America. I pledge allegiance to the Republic for which it stands, and that's unity. Unity is not all these folks coming together and all these folks have a different viewpoint of our founding original intent of our country. That's not unity. Mm-hmm. That's an argument.
Right.
And we are supposed to have the battlefield of ideas, but we're going to have to unify again over the idea of America. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to, we've been preparing for quite some time to be able to go back to where we've gone astray, for the point we left off from. You could be going the right way for a while, and all of a sudden you can veer off and get off course. Well, we're trying to get back to whatever that point was. We got off course with America and with the church, and we say, let's go back there, and let's continue on from there. We call it the original intent, and we have to do it. We're gonna have to do the work. We're gonna have to know what our Constitution says. Oh well, you're gonna have to actually read something. You can listen to it today. You can probably watch a movie of it, but you're going to have to know what the Constitution says. You'll be really surprised. We've been taking the U.S. citizenship test, and it's been really, funny. But we're also learning. We're taking the citizenship test.
Yeah.
What people have to know to be able to become a citizen. We're finding out that we don't even know the stuff.
I know.
And we've been criticizing other people, and they know more about America than we do. If they're a fresh citizen, they had to pass that test. And so we are going to educate ourselves. We are in a conversation that's evolving because we're learning as we go. Mm-hmm. Your grace and your mercy is greatly appreciated as we learn how to do this. And but God is moving. Many of you are talking to us and how you're encouraged and enlightened and oh my goodness, I didn't know that. And that's beautiful because that's our goal. Our goal is to say, my goodness, God can use me. It's just encouraging. Many encouraging things. When you come back, we're going to be talking about the unity and the purpose and how important it is and how valuable the church as a whole is. We're talking about unity in the church and how important it is. It makes me think about the revelation from the Lord that was given to Rick Joyner, and he penned it in the book called The Torch and the Sword. And The Torch and the Sword, it's just a really, you got to read some of Rick's stuff. Rick is just for years has, when he was young, he just cried out, I want visions, I want dreams, and it may encourage you to ask the very same thing. And in that, the Lord gave him a vision and showed him the situation about, unity in the church and the things that are coming and what we have to do. And of course, the torch and the sword, if you notice that one of our things that we do is called the torch.
You're right.
And keeping the light out there before everybody. And the sword, of course, is the word of God. And you think about Gideon, it's the same situation when God begins to turn the heart of our nation. But in that, it was very important that just imagine you're in the city and it's got this big old tree here. And then, Rick's in this vision, he's given a sword, a real sharp sword. And it's really, pretty cool or whatever. I'm kind of paraphrasing. You can read it. It's called The Torch and the Sword by Rick Joyner. And when he took it, he thought, man, I got to try this thing out or whatever. And he started just hacking stuff. And he cut down this tree. It was just there. When a kid gets a gun, the first gun, they go start shooting stuff. What else can I shoot? I think I'll shoot that. I think I'll shoot this. Mm-hmm. And so often that's how people do ministry.
Right.
And I'll try this. I think I'll try that. I'll try to, like, people are like dead people everywhere. It's like, yeah, not a good thing to do.
Put that down.
So, well, that didn't work, Moses said as he buried two of his first followers. Anyway, so that he cuts his tree down. And as he cuts his tree down, all of a sudden, with the sword, all of a sudden this evil started coming into the city. And he couldn't undo what he did. And there's no way to uncut a tree down. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things we'd love to take back. You know, so many things is like, well, and it's just like, it's done. And so he cut this tree down in the vision. All of a sudden this evil was released on the city, and, you know, bad things started happening. And the very parts of the, you know, there's only one church. There's only one church, of which is Jesus is the head. And all those who are believers and followers of Jesus are his body. And so there's fragments of us and different parts of us, but we're one, as God is one. But there's in this vision, he saw there was parts of the different churches that wasn't appreciated in that particular city. And so they started basically being defeated by the evil one, and the very evil that he released. Then all of a sudden they started realizing even that struggling work or whatever it was, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. that particular gathering that people thought, or quote, church that wasn't doing much, it was actually holding ground. It was holding ground. And that when you remove the church, when you remove parts of the church from your city and from your nation, it doesn't just stay empty. Mm-hmm. Darkness comes into that spot. I mean, I think about, you know, remember, Pat, when you and I were in New Orleans, and, mm-hmm. you know, God had called us to New Orleans, and we're following him and what's going on. But there was a particular church that gathered at a Presbyterian church or whatever that gathered in the city of New Orleans, and they were finding out that they no longer gathered there anymore. And they turned this church building into an abortion clinic. They're aborting babies in the very place they used to worship God. Right?
That's right.
We're like, what's going on here? For some reason, they're protesting abortion in front of this church building. We're like, something's not right. We get out, we find out that one of these, you know, organizations that, you know, medical clinics that abort babies took over the building. Mm-hmm. And we have to appreciate each other in regards to understanding that. And of course, you know, great evil happened, and we're all on the same, as a church, we're all on the same side. We're on Jesus' side. We're on God's side. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not picking any other side other than God's side. Right. What does that mean? That means some people are not in agreement with God to say they are, and they're not going to be on your side. But understand, but there's others that may not just kind of flow the same way you flow, or, you know, they have the main thing is the main thing, that they know who the Lord is, they're rightly related to him, and they're doing their best. Mm-hmm. And understanding that they're holding a light space in your city. They're holding a light space, L-I-G-H-T space, you know, in your community and in your state and in your nation. And it's very, very relevant and very, very important. First of all, it's the church, which are people, not the building. And, you know, we're called to love the church. And ever how we treat the church is how we treat God. Yeah. And so it's very important. Now, if you actually, you know, hit a building, a physical building, and you say you don't like it, you didn't hit God.
Right.
You know, you hit a building. If you punched a wall that was made out of sheetrock, you know, you didn't hit God. You hit a sheetrock wall. But if you lay your hands on God's people, you know, you hurt God's people, you put God's people in captivity, you do things to God's people that causes them to turn away from God, all these different things, you're touching God.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that it's, you know, it's our hope and a heart that we are doing things that communicate that we are for the church. We are for, you want to have every believer in your city know how important they are. And you want them to be talking to God. You want them to be abiding with Jesus. And everything you do, you want to be able to encourage them in that direction. Because we're coming to a time coming soon. I think even Corey Russell even said it there. The one thing which we've been saying it all along, but it's great to have things established with different witnesses,
mm-hmm.
is that if you're not hearing from God when this storm hits, you know, you're probably not going to make it.
Right.
You're probably not going to make it. And so when we're talking about, listen, you know, this needs to happen and that needs to happen. As to the church, we're saying, we want you to make it. We want you to hold your ground. We want you to be that light in the midst of darkness. That in addition to that, that we have to be real careful how we wield the sword, the word of God, and how we're saying and how we're presenting it. Because in that vision that was given to Rick Joyner, that he just cut down a tree because he could.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we can do something just because we can. We got to be careful. We got to pray about it, think about it, and how is this going to affect, you know, the body, people, human being, believers, and the testimony of Jesus Christ in that city. And it's just so, so very, very important. Do we fail in this? Yes, we do fail in it. Do we need God's grace and mercy? Yeah, we're totally dependent on it. But our heart has to be leaning in this direction. And that's what we want to do. And if we do make a mistake in regards to that, that we see that, like Rick saw, that that the damage was done, that we need to be able to come out and say, listen, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me for this. And because we need each other. We need each other. When people are fighting for their kingdom over God's kingdom, that's going to always be difficult. But in regards to fighting for God's people, standing up and defending God's people, that you know, Mrs. Jones, or, you know, the elderly lady who lives up the street, who's a believer that goes to her gathering once a week, or the young man who just found God who goes to the first whatever church, or the, you know, these are very important parts of God's body. And we need to recognize them, and we need to honor them. And but sometimes, I mean, you look at when Jesus was presenting accurately his heart, that the religious folk, you know, was not pleased with it.
Right.
And Jesus did not unify with those who weren't wanting to unify with him. And it was rough. It was rough for them.
Right. The thing is that sometimes, you know, it's not that God doesn't call us to judge, you know, things are not right, yet you have to speak about what's not right. But it's not doing it in a critical format. And you're not being critical of it. You're loving the church, and so you want to speak a word of truth, a word of warning, to prepare us for what lies ahead. But
you want them to make it. You're for that person, or for them. You want them to make it. So it's like speaking the truth in love, what, you know,
exactly.
Paul tells the church of Ephesians.
Exactly. Not in a critical way.
Right. Right. Which is really difficult to do, because it's already, if I'm struggling with something, if Pat's struggling with something,
it's better.
What I'm saying? More practical. Well, if I'm struggling with something, you know, obviously I'm going to be real sensitive. So it's probably, you know, get ready for, you know, I mean, think about it. Even when God comes down and looks for Adam, you know, he takes off and God didn't say, oh, forget it. No, he didn't say that. He said, you know, where are you? We're going to look for him and whatever. And he found them. Our first reaction is going to be quite often avoidance, you know, avoidance of that. And not always, but, you know, the more you hang with God, he's like, here I am, whatever, God, do it, whatever you got to do.
If
you haven't been abiding with God, if you haven't been abiding with God and you're not used to that, you're not used to repentance and constantly being, you know, directed and that type of thing. And it's going to be difficult at first, because, you know, you're going to define correction, you know, based off of you're thinking how God thinks about you, and not realizing that he loves you. He loves you already. He loved you while you were yet a sinner. And so with that, when you understand the love God has for you, correction no longer is a big deal, because he's just positioning us to what's best for us and best for his will and where we're going. And what he's doing in the earth. And so it's encouraging to remember, in unity in the church, we're talking about unity, not with, you know, denominationalism, not unity with non-denominationalism, not unity with the whatever. It's unity with people who love God, believers of Jesus Christ, people who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that no matter where they are on this journey of development and learning how to follow God, because that day one, their spirits may ride with God, but we don't look the same necessarily in our actions, because we may be really immature, even though we may have been a believer for 10 years, because we've never been discipled. We don't look much different than the world. And begin to unify around that. And with that kind of unity, God can save your city. I mean, don't think of your city as connected to the United States in regards to God being able to do something. If the entire nation decides to go the wrong direction, that God can cause your city to be a light. He can cause your produce to expand and to grow. He can cause you know, evil to be shut down. He can change your leaders to be godly light leaders. He can do all that despite what's happening at in the world. God can turn your city. Unity is so important, but it's the right Christ-centered unity, and we have to be very, very careful what we say and how we say it. And that's our goal at VFN Radio, is to encourage and not to discourage, to bring hope and not doubt.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
This is Focus on the Family Minute, and I'm John Fuller. Jill Savage was tempted to tell her friends that her marriage was fine, despite some serious struggles. She found out, though, that being honest about those problems actually encouraged her friends.
I went home that day, and my phone started ringing off the hook of moms that were sitting in that room and saying, "Thank you for being so honest. We're a mess. We're struggling in our marriage. It's a very difficult season for us." And the very thing that I feared would happen, which was that I would lose integrity, actually the opposite happened. I gained integrity with those women because of the willingness to be honest.
We're all longing for authenticity, and God can work powerfully through our weaknesses. You'll find the strength you need to be honest and to have a thriving relationship at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
This generation, go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you.
Mm-hmm.
But he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
We have a great way for you, our VFN Radio listeners, to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
But today's moment of wisdom is from Proverbs chapter 28. Yeah, Proverbs 28:4. And it reads, because we always want to watch the wisdom of God over us. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked. Wicked means immoral. Mm-hmm. So Those who forsake the law praise the immoral, but those who keep the law resist them.
Right.
I mean, think about that. Because right now you're looking at so many things taking place. It's amazing today how many immoral men and women who are openly doing what is not right, not only in the eyes of God, but also in the eyes of the community, I mean, in the eyes of our Constitution, yet they have many fans that are praising them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just praising them. You know, think about
exactly.
It. It's like, what's going on? And today's wisdom helps us to understand why those who openly are wrong or immoral speak not only as those like the world or even, I'm not even talking about the world, just the church in itself and Christians that are praising those who are doing this, because he's letting us know the reason why they do that is because they are actually in agreement with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They're looking at a way to get permission to sin. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so he said the reason why they praise those that are wicked or immoral is because it's something that they agree with. And so so don't get carried away when you look at somebody who's saying something that's contrary to God, contrary to the God founding of this nation, and then a whole bunch of people, you know, all of a sudden just say, hey, this is great. Let's go in this direction. Don't give up what's right. For that, because he says that we're supposed to actually resist that. Today's wisdom says, but we resist it. And the first way we resist it is to prevent by action or argument. Prevent by action or argument. Of course, no man keeps the law perfectly, but there's a huge difference between somebody who gives themselves over to something.
Right. And lives contrary to it openly.
Right. And just versus, you know, by the grace of God and the power of the cross of Christ, we fight against that which fight against us. It's the fighting and fight of faith. Mm-hmm. It's not, nobody is sinless.
Right.
But the very fact there's a difference in giving yourself over to something. You know, Paul said, the things that I hate, I do.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't hate the things that we end up doing sometimes because we are a sinner saved by grace, and that, you know, we like fail.
It's like the sheep and the pig. You know, the sheep falls into a little bit of dirt and it's like, you know, get this thing off of me, you know.
Right,
but
right.
Pig rolls up in there and is slap happy. And,
this is and good. I want some more mud.
Great. You know,
great.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. You know, and how do we fight against it? Well, we don't fight against it by screaming at someone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first thing we have the first thing we need to do, you know, is begin to keep the law ourselves, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, don't just pick out the things you don't like and preach against your preferences and keep the things that you do, but really begin to abide with God, begin to spend time with him, begin to hide his word in your heart, begin to pray to him, listen to him, and do what he says. You know, wisdom tells us that we're not just to sit back and let wickedness or immorality run wild, but we're supposed to resist it.
That's
and personally, we start beginning to resist it in ourselves. We're not to be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
We're not to fall to the majority concept of what's going on. But look at how many people are praising those who are immoral today in the nation and the things that they're doing. You know, we
it's like you liked what on your Facebook? It's like you're a believer and that you like that demonic thing? Like what in the world is that? Are you serious?
Yeah, I mean there's been some, you know, there's amazing.
You know, that's just Facebook. I'm just saying and what you're saying is like that cannot be us.
Right.
You know,
right.
We cannot be, you know, in agreement with people that is like promoting wickedness. It's like what, you know, that's opposite. That's contrary to what God's word says and what we're supposed to walk out with God.
Mm-hmm.
But you're absolutely hit the nail right on the head. Those who are doing that, it's in their spirit. It's their agreement. Right. They're looking for agreement with that.
Right. And so that's why you're gonna it's kind of like, oh my goodness, now that means that I can do this thing without being, you know, condemned or criticized. I can just give myself up. And it's for the eyes of men.
I could like it too.
Exactly.
Okay.
The things I used to think was bad when I was convicted are no longer bad anymore, I guess, because, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's a downward spiral of that, you know, versus going back to the plumb line of God's word and find out what God says about it.
Right.
You know, and when you do that, every one of us are driven to the cross because we need Jesus. Nobody, the only standard is Jesus. It's not
right.
Any
Don't
man.
Use someone else's standard.
No,
you know, look at, oh, that person's godly and they did that. So wait a second. What are you?
the standard is always the word of God, not what somebody else is doing. You know what I mean?
Right. And yeah. Today's wisdom helps us understand that those who are praising them are ones that are forsaking God's ways themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they're not shocked. Yeah. They're not like, oh my goodness, you know, this is great. But mm-hmm. we're supposed to try and to prevent this, to resist it, which means is defined as to prevent it by action or argument. Mm-hmm. And an argument is just a different viewpoint. It doesn't mean going in the streets and arguing with somebody. It means, mm-hmm. you know, just saying, well, that's your viewpoint, but let's just find out what God has to say about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not share our opinions because, you know.
Right.
And how do we do this? The first thing we do is make Jesus the Lord of your life.
Yeah.
Because quite mm-hmm. often you hear people that are conservatives in America and they talk like they're Christians, but they're actually just conservatives. Mm-hmm. They like that form of government. Mm-hmm. They like the things that come along with Christian values. You know, but the truth is that you got to know Jesus yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're talking about, hey, we need this God thing, because I know there's an atheist right now. Her name is Cup. I mean,
Essie
Cup. She's an atheist, yeah. but she likes the idea of conservative government. So she yeah. sounds more like, you know, the Christian value of America than many Christians do.
Mm-hmm.
But she's an atheist.
So, right.
So you can't get caught up in the fact that just because, you know, you are a conservative, you know, mm-hmm. that's your politics, or you're part of a particular party, that you know Jesus. No, you know Jesus if you know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
And he knows you. Right. So first thing you want to do is make Jesus the Lord of your life. And you can do that we can help you out. Go to meetmyfather.org and find out how you can do that now, just like Steve was talking a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. The second thing is abide with him, just what I talked about. Begin to abide with him. Don't run out in the streets and start arguing with people yet. Just abide with him. Get full of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Get full of God. Don't step outside your abiding place until you're full of God.
Mm.
Because if you move before you're full of God, you're moving when you're full of it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And it's like, oh, you're full of it, but you're not full of God. You need to go back and spend time with God, because you're arguing preference here. You're not arguing the love of God. Because if you were talking about the love of God, then you would have to say, I am you outside of him.
That's right.
But I found them, and you can find them too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, such were some of us, and that we mm-hmm. can. And so there's a loving a reality to a father calling his people home. And then we become Jesus' disciple. And Jesus mm-hmm. says, you're really my disciple if you know and follow my teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says in Proverbs chapter 1, talking about the shot being fired over the bow and the highlights on the VFN torch, mm-hmm. is that he says, I want to make my teachings known to you.
Mm.
And you need to go back to
repent.
Yeah, you need to repent. But first, you got to find out what repent means. I got to stop what I'm doing and do what God wants me to do. But you're not going to know that until you find out what his teachings are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so become his disciple. Become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, teach them to obey all of my commandments,
mm-hmm.
everything that I've commanded you. And this is how we love God. We love God through obeying his teachings. Not been earning anything. This is how we love God. Mm-hmm. And we can do that through the empowerment of abiding with Jesus. And at this point, you know, you think about it, we're walking in God's way. So now we're empowered to properly resist evil. We're ready and equipped to be able to resist, to have a right kind of argument of
That's
saying,
right.
you know, I know what you're saying. I know that everything in your flesh just wants to give over to this thing, because for a long time the enemy's been gnawing at you and been telling you, you know, if you could just live your life this way, which is contrary to God's way, then mm-hmm. all this pressure would stop. But
right.
the truth is, it wouldn't stop. It's going to be way worse. And that what seems like freedom, and that's what's being taught right now, is that, and he talks about that in 2 Peter. He says, you know, these liars basically are saying, you know, that they're promising you freedom.
Loosey goosey.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, literally, Jesus says they're promising you freedom, but they're false
mm-hmm.
teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not freedom in walking away from God. There's actually bondage. And then he goes about saying, and it's like a dog returning to his vomit. It's better for you to never have known
right.
than to have
right.
known and turned away.
They're crucifying them all over.
It's crucifying them all over again.
Yeah.
But in Peter, where he's talking about that, you're understanding that when somebody says freedom outside of following God, that's actually captivity,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so we can begin to have a right kind of argument now, but that argument will sound really bad if you're not abiding with God.
Mm-hmm.
It'll sound mm-hmm. hateful and religious, even though you use the same words, it's going to sound critical, religious, and fault finding and everything else versus out of compassion and love when you're sharing that very same word. Because remember, many people have the same Bible, but they don't have the same God.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people are caught up in religion, and just because we had, you know, you might have had a relationship with God at one time ago, and you left God,
yeah,
doesn't mean that you're, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you got to come back to him, and, and oftentimes you need a clean break. I mean, don't, it's like, don't believe the hype, don't believe it. If you didn't know God and you lived contrary to his ways, and say you know of, that you didn't know of him or about him or knew the Bible stories, you didn't know him. You didn't have intimacy. You didn't abide. You didn't obey his word. He wasn't living in your life. You have to abide. You got to return back to him. You got to give your whole heart to him. And then you begin to abide and spend time with him and then begin to share and carry this out.
Yeah. And so understanding, you're seeing a lot of people say, hey, let's go this wicked way. Let's go this immoral way. And then you're seeing people in the streets going, yeah. Yeah. You know, and then you're supposed to, as a believer, look what God says about it and find out what he's saying. You got to check first. Don't assume your preferences are right. And then then begin to do what we just talked about. But in that, you know, he says, if my people who are called by my name do this, then things begin to get restored and all. So we understand this is not odd what's taking place. The wisdom for today, the wisdom moment for today tells us what's going on. Mm-hmm. You have people who knew what the people who wanted to do immoral things wanted to hear. So they stood in front of them and they said, this is what I want to do. And they make them their leader. But ultimately, this whole thing is captivity by God's set man. God is just in Babylonian captivity if we don't wake up. Today's wisdom moment is Proverbs 28:4. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, the immoral. But those who keep the law resist them.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Pat,
yeah,
you had an interesting weekend. Talk to us.
Yeah, I got
what's going on with Pat today?
Well, I got a good workout. Saturday?
Yeah.
Man, I think it was the best workout I've ever had in my entire life.
I'm glad.
I've never sweat so much, I think.
That's awesome.
Ever. It was just amazing.
Ever?
Yeah. Well,
ever.
Tell us about this workout. Those biceps.
Somebody called me up, said, hey, man, I need some help, man. Can you come help me?
Can you help me out, please?
Can you help a brother out?
Can you help my brother out?
So I said, of course, man. I'd love to be able to help you out. So I got to move my good friend and comrade. Not once.
But twice.
In the same day.
How
it
about
was a
that?
Beautiful thing.
Well, I certainly appreciate your help. Listen, I even got you some backup. Chris came and helped out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the master packer and loader.
If you need somebody moved, This is your guy.
We're going to put his number out in the air in a little while and torch you.
We'll post his phone number.
Hold up.
I mean, this man can load up. Listen, talk about space. Whenever you think you need a truck, just get two sizes smaller. You invite Chris. He'll make sure you get it all in. Every nook and cranny. But my goodness, was that a workout or what? I don't remember it ever taking this long.
How much stuff
could
actually fit in that truck?
I didn't know you had so much stuff.
I know, right? I thought you downsized.
It just kept coming.
I did. It's just junk, I guess. No, honey, it's not junk. But, you know, stuff.
It's amazing what you accumulate, isn't it?
Oh my gosh.
It's just amazing.
I can imagine how to do that again.
No, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine it for a long time.
Let's hope not, right?
Let's hope not.
It really turned me off from wanting to move.
Oh my goodness.
That was...
But. But there was a bright side to this.
Oh, there's a bright side.
Not only did I get to move my brother.
Yes.
But I got to witness the most interesting, odd.
What? Please.
Strange looking animal. Strange. Just pops up on my phone.
Strange?
Just this mop looking thing.
Isaiah, cover your ears.
I said, what? What is this? What is that?
What is that?
That does not look like Diesel to me. What happened to Diesel? This is not Diesel. And he says, well, this is my new dog. You're what? That's a dog?
Children, cover your ears. Mr. Pat really does not mean this.
That's not a dog. That looks like my mop.
He is dissing our family edition.
Look.
Our family edition. The kids. First of all, my dog. I guess he's my dog now, too. He's in the house.
I believe he's sitting on your desk.
Oh, that is my desk.
In your office.
Well, he was left there. They leave the house to run errands, and they leave me with this little dog. Now, I always say, lock the dog up. Don't, you know, I'm not used to this dog. They just brought it home. And I'm like, lock the dog up. So all of a sudden, I'm in the office working, and I hear it. Shh, shh, shh. I'm like, oh, no. Do not tell me this dog is outside. So I couldn't leave him. I mean, he was, whimpering.
Just couldn't.
Listen, I'm not a cold-hearted, I have a little soft side. I brought the dog in.
A few soft sides.
One or two, no. And he nicely laid down right next to me. That is a very smart poodle. That's a poodle.
A poodle.
Apricot poodle.
Apricot.
I learned that I had no idea what that was, but... He's very, very smart.
And what is this apricot poodle's name?
His name is Sunny.
Sunny.
So,
Okay.
Yeah. My son took a huge liking to that dog, and he was given that dog by his grandmother. Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Grandma.
Thank you. Grandma, thank you.
I needed that.
thank you, Lola. And, oh my goodness, they're inseparable. Diesel now hasn't made it inside the house. The 75-pound Doberman
is still... Has he made it to your house?
He's made it to the house. He's made it there.
He's not been abandoned.
Okay. He's not been abandoned. He has made it there. And, boy, he's a good guard dog. He was barking all night long. Think, what is happening back there? I don't know if he was chasing squirrels or something, but...
All right.
Or a person. I don't know. Don't go in the backyard.
Just let me know.
You may not come back out, but Diesel has made it over to the house, and yes, Sunny has made it over. And but Chris, did you detect a little bit of something in someone's heart here this morning? I mean,
nah.
No, not at all. You're gonna leave me out there like that? Huh?
I had the privilege of having Pat's son over to the house this weekend. In fact, he's still there.
Is he really?
And we got to talk about Samson.
Oh, please do tell us how Samson does not behave.
I have some good reports on Samson.
Yeah.
Did he stop going in the bathroom in the house? What? What's going on with Samson? What's he doing?
No, just Jonathan, just let me know how much he loves his dog, and just he was just so excited to come over and play with Frankie because Frankie moves.
He moves.
Samson doesn't Samson. Appear to move.
what are you talking about?
Do they feed him?
We ain't talking about the same dog, apparently.
Do they feed him over there?
According to the son.
According to the son. Okay. Allegedly, the son says, Samson is not moving.
He'll run around in a circle and then lay down.
One circle. Wow.
He's talking about Holly, obviously.
Wow. We're going to have to go.
Holly don't move.
We're gonna have to go to the Ponderosa, to the compound over there, and go check out what's going on with these dogs. Make sure that they're being fed and taken care of.
Oh, he's being fed.
Is that why he can't move?
That's why he can't.
Like, I'll tell you what. Now that dog, he's got a little bit of I guess Holly's finally rubbing off on him.
Uh oh.
Just a little bit.
Uh oh.
I got him to fetch.
Really?
What?
Yes. Yes.
Oh my goodness.
He fetches. Yeah. It's amazing.
Wow.
And it didn't take but the first time, and he just did it.
That's what Frankie did.
First over time. And over and over again.
He fetched
until his mother walked in the room.
Oh gosh. <Uh-oh>.
Mama walks in the room.
Uh oh.
So I said, "Hey, look, check this out." I throw the thing. And he made me look like such a liar. He beelines right for her.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, great.
Right. Yeah.
You know how these dogs are. It's amazing. It's amazing how much fun these little pets can be. Or these big pets. Companion. They bring a lot of companionship. I didn't realize it's really, I mean, I didn't know this so many years later, but they're really good for someone who's, you know, alone or a senior. It's a great, someone that's coming, you know, sick and recovering. I tell you, I mean, you can get so close to an animal and they're so loving, you know, and it's a great thing. It really is a great thing. If they're trained
and clean. This is important.
Yeah. And if they're not trained, you don't want a dog. Not a good thing. Mm-mm.
Gideon was a man who wasn't thinking about doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually hiding and eking out a living in a wine press. Just kind of, he's hiding because he's, every time he would do something and everybody would do something, God's people would do something. This whole spirit of strife, or, you know, Midianites, they would come in. If you look at the word Midianite, that means strife. This whole contention would come in, and it would just take anything you had in your savings account, anything that you had, any positive growth. And so he had to hide to be able to make a living. And in this place where everybody was hiding out and God's people felt just broken, which I believe that we're possibly just going to have to go there because we haven't got there yet, to so that we would begin to look up and look to God. But whatever it takes, you know, we want as many as possible to be saved and to know him. And all of a sudden the Lord shows up and he sees this man eking out a living, you know, hiding, terrified. And he says, you know, mighty man of valor. This angel says this to Gideon. And Gideon starts looking over his shoulder going like, what?
All right.
You know, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah, what you talking about, Willis? And so, you know, with that, a long story short, God chose Gideon, who was the weakest and the least likely, to be able to begin to do something that he could show himself mighty in the midst of when all of God's people are terrified, that are hiding in caves and just trying to eke out a living in the midst of this one, this great oppression in the land. And listen, there's going to be more people against God than for God, sad to say. That's what it's going to be. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. What does that mean? The crowd, it doesn't necessarily mean it's for God. I mean, everybody's for a good song and a good beat and a good, you know, come on. I mean, hair done the right way with a hair product. I mean, everybody wants to look at it. Look at that hair. You know, but when it boils down to it, I say you're for the hair, but are you for Jesus? I mean, I understand that 19% are the only ones, you know, reading the word according to George Barna, the Bible. But if you read it, you know, some things that we're just openly doing and broadcasting, he says plainly, you know, that we shouldn't be doing that. It doesn't please him.
Right.
And so all these things take in place with the radical Islam, not only radical Islam, but also with Israel under attack, and they're after God's people, which is JJ. We talked about, you know, the first hour, you know, the Jews and Jesus. And you think about it. Oh, my goodness. And I think about Mike Bickle's ministry out of Kansas City, Missouri, where they have the International House of Prayer. Right. And in that, they have 24/7 prophetic worship, word worship and all that. And you think about Gideon's army and all these things going on. And I heard on, I think it was October the 23rd, something I want to share with you. October 23rd, where Missy Edwards, she's leading. If you haven't, you need to hook up to IHOP and support them and be a part and connect your heart to them. And because if you are in the body of Christ, they are you and you are them and we need each other. But they list prophetic songs and different things that happen. And they started listening here. And Jacob, when you hear Jacob, understand that's Israel. So when you hear somebody say, "Oh, Jacob, Jacob, where are you, Jacob?" That's Israel. "Oh, Israel, Israel, where are you, Israel?" And he says that, you know, you'll be scattered across the lands, but I'll gather you back. And so when you start hearing, "Oh, Jacob, Jacob, where are you?" It's trying to find the Jews and bring them back to their homeland because the Jews are going to be saved. And so, but then I mean, you got to hear this, but radical Islam and the things that are taking place. And I just want you to hear it. Listen up.
Marching in single file, Gideon's army of angels, infinity. Traveling back to the land, outstretched hand like utopia. A cornucopia, promised land, milk and honey. From Ethiopia, from the four corners of the earth. A slippery slope through the scope of a sniper rifle. I hear the hope of the viper's disciple of Islamic. Seek, kill and destroy. My people, seek, kill and destroy. Desert heat stifling, sadistic false peace. The mark of the beast rises and defeats the high priest. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing, desert darkness will increase. Splitting hairs, splitting tears, spitting harvest over beats. Bowls of the wrath flipped over, wheat from the chaff roved over. Every stone turned over, every heart checked for pulse. The altar smokes and smolts, a holy host of holy ghosts. Filled watchmen at their post, under clouds and lightning bolts. The altar smokes and smolts, a holy host of holy ghosts. Filled watchmen at their post, under clouds and lightning bolts. Watchmen stand. Watchmen stand at your post. A holy host, a holy ghost, filled watchmen at the post, under clouds and lightning bolts, the altar smokes and smolts.
Jacob,
as the altar smokes
where
and smolts, thunder clouds and lightning bolts,
scattered among the nations,
back to the land,
return,
as the altar smokes and smolts,
return,
thunder clouds and lightning bolts,
to
calling you back to the land,
from among the nations.
Like a burning firebrand plucked up from the fiery furnace, with a gift of spiritual discernment, supernatural sight. Be led by the burning bush, pillar, fire, cloud by night, a cloud by day, a lamp by night. It's time to fight like Gideon's army with eyesight. Prophetic, stand with the Jews. I hate anti-Semitic. Eat the scroll, read the words the prophets told. You gotta be bold, like a hammer. Hebrew hearts grown cold. A different manner, different tactic. A matter of fact, it's by the blood that religion becomes charismatic. Static electricity flows from the Ark of the Covenant, before the holy place, before the holy throne. The dry bones answer the call and come home. No longer a heart of stone, we prophesy flesh, life from the dead. Light from the dead upon the chest, a crest of gold like Jerusalem's lion, save Zion. No longer a heart of stone, the dry bones answer the call and come home, before the holy place, before the holy throne. Static electricity flows from the Ark of the Covenant. Abba Father, call back your people.
Return, return.
No longer a heart of stone, we prophesy flesh.
From among the nations,
before the holy
Jacob,
no longer a heart of stone.
Jacob,
we prophesy flesh, light from the dead.
Scattered among the nations,
Hebrew hearts grown cold. The Hebrew hearts grown cold. Read the words of the prophets
told.
So we cry out
among the nations,
cry out,
Jacob, Jacob.
This is awesome, awesome prophetic release that came out of this week at the International House of Prayer, Kansas City. And I just can't describe how that just resonates in our spirits, because all the things, and of course, if you haven't been in the Word, you don't understand, but he was, as one people would say, he was spitting the Word of God. He was loosing every peripheral aspect of what God is doing, and the throne room of God, and radical Islam, and Israel coming back, and oh, Jacob, where are you? And he says that they were literally letting, when he says we're letting the beat separate us, he's talking about that we can't even worship together, because we said, I got to have music this way, I got to have music that way. Mm. And we're at this point right now where, you know, the anti-Semitism, that means that the hatred of the Jews. And he says, I hate this anti-Semitism. Mm-hmm. And we're at that point right now. But what does God do at a time like that? What do we do? And the thing is that he rises up an army. He raises up an army, dressed for battle, to be able to fulfill his will. Mm-hmm. And his will is, his name's going to be glorified. His name's going to be known in all the earth. And so it's just that prophetic release of what God is doing in the earth. It just totally nailed it. And pray for Misty Edwards and International House of Prayer, Mike Bickle, and join Gideon's army.
That's right. That's you.
Listen, you know, he was the weakest and the least likely, but he said, you know what? I heard about this old-time religion stuff, and I don't even want to hear it no more because I'm not seeing it. I'm ready to see something now.
That's right.
Something now. And did he have issues? Did he have to deal with some different things? Of course he had to deal with some different things. Was he fearful? Yeah, he was fearful. But, you know, God confirmed what was going on. He went through a process of preparation. God went through a process of filtering. But out of that came Gideon's army, that were a few people were used in a way by God to be able to fulfill his will. And I believe all over the world there's flanks, if you would, flanks of armies. And it's a spirit, if you would, of Gideon's armies that are rising up across the world. And find one, you know, be one. Mm-hmm. Join one. Understand that it's going to take men and women who hear from heaven and do exactly what God says do. It's not about doing your own thing, but hearing what is, it's the timings of Issachar. You hear what God's saying in this season and what needs to be done. And yes, any warrior knows it will require your life. So when you enlist in the United States military, when you sign up for the Marines, it tells you very specifically, you have to sign here that you realize that you are saying, I'm willing to lay down my life for this cause. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for our Marines. And I thank God for all of our military men and women. And that they're willing to lay down their life so we can actually have life.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, it's the requirement of us as believers, period. We're supposed to lay down our life. But definitely, the few that God is calling to join these flanks across America, they're willing to stand up. Because listen, I got news for you. Mormonism's not going to save America.
No, it ain't.
And I'm not saying that God doesn't love the Mormons. God loves the Mormons. Who does God love? Check it out. You know, we list them all, including you. And God loves everybody and us. But the reality is, you know, that's another Jesus. That's another Jesus. And but it is a nicer version of another Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to pick which one you're going to, you know, be able to live with. But understand that what's going to save is Jesus Christ. The church rising up and doing what Jesus said, not another version of Jesus.
That's right.
Doing what God said. And it's going to be you. If you call yourself a Christian, which means Christ follower, it's time to rise up and follow him. And if you're not following him, you need to decide if you are or not. Mm-hmm. And you may be doing a lot of religious things, but think about it. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing a lot of religious things, but they weren't following him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he says, if you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, which means you have to walk with him. God will reveal his truth to you, and that truth he reveals to you will set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, go preach my kingdom to everyone, to all nations. Mm-hmm. And then he says, and those that believe, baptize them, by the way, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Mm-hmm. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and then make them disciples. Teach them what I've commanded you. So all this other garbage and religious stuff that's going on, understand, he says, if you follow my teachings, which means you actually have to know them before mm-hmm. you can follow them, then you're really, so it's like, are you the church? Or are you really the church? You know, are you, somebody says, oh, you don't, you don't have to be a disciple of Jesus. You actually can stay in your sin. You can say a prayer mm-hmm. And do what you want to. It's not a big deal.
It's right. included in the Word of God. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
The word really. Yeah, right. Really? Really? And you have to understand that the great deception has fallen upon the church. Now, obviously, you're not saved by your works, but you're definitely lost by your denial of him by your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, he said. And you're not your gift, by the way. And so you've been mesmerizing people because you have the ability to speak, talk, teach, sing, you know, whatever it is, even prophesy. But your life is a mess. It's a mess. And because you're not your gift. And ask the people around you. They'll let you know you're not your gift.
You're like, yeah, right.
That's right.
You're confusing me here because you're accurate in the use of your gift. We love the song. But your life is like an abomination to God.
These two don't match here.
You know, one of these things are not like the other, right? Sesame right. Street. And so I want to encourage you, if you have not yet, you may be religious, but listen, if you don't, if you have not become a follower of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
if you have not yet met God as your Father and Jesus as your Savior, where you just said, I'm ready to drop everything and follow you. And Jesus said, unless you put your hands to the plow and don't look back, you're not worthy of me, worthy of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. If that's you, listen, it's better this side, by the way, what's about to take place. I mean, he will accept what if we survive it, because I believe it's going to be, I really believe there's going to be mass death.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and don't know how it's going to happen, probably natural disaster looking thing. Different things are happening. It doesn't take much. I mean, you're looking at Syria right now with these chemical weapons. You have the Muslim Brotherhood who we're giving money to be able to bring in the weapons into these areas. And that's what allegedly that Ambassador Stevens was dealing with in
Libya.
In Libya was trying to get some of those guns back.
Mm.
And now we're funneling them through Turkey down into Syria. Which Turkey's north of Syria, and our leadership believes that the Muslim Brotherhood is a stable force to be able to give them guns, and understand the Muslim Brotherhood. This is their goal. The president of Egypt is I saw this with my own. And I don't speak Arabic, so I had to read the subtitles to it and to verify what was going on. But the imam was sitting here talking about. He's sitting there holding his hands up the way a charismatic would in the presence of God. They're all kneeling down and mm-hmm. praying at the mosque. And they're saying, destroy Israel, destroy, wipe them off the face of the earth. And he's just got his eyes closed like he's having some spiritual moment. And I'm like, this is the president of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And JJ. And so here we are. Here we are. It's happening. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.